This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, it looks like, Lee, there is a way forward being floated by the Trump people. Okay, here's what happened this week. It's actually really cool. And the news has got this all wrong. They're missing the whole story. The most powerful weapon on earth right now is the truth. And the chosen weapon to deliver it is X. Incredible amount of pressure put on Congress because people on X are absolutely outraged after Elon Musk gave that CBS interview that he's being turfed out the way that he is. And Congress just basically said, oh, you saved $175 billion. Thanks. We'll go ahead and spend that. We'll just assume, you know, we have the money. We'll go ahead and spend it. In other words, wasting everybody's time in the process. Zero Hedge reporting that what is actually happening is that Congress was telling Trump, you can't send your rescission bill till after we're done with the big, beautiful bill. In other words, to codify the Doge cuts and maybe some other cuts, too, that Trump has found. Well, after and Zero Hedge documented this, the, you know, Elon Musk interview, the criticism of the big, beautiful bill, all of that trended over and over and over. People outraged by how Congress, and particularly the Republican leadership, is treating Doge. That Mike Johnson yesterday, who was doing what he does, he's on vacation, he had to interrupt his vacation to tweet that actually he really loves the idea of rescission and would love to see a bill. So that's Johnson, and we hope Thune, reversing themselves. Oh, you know what? You don't have to wait till after the big, beautiful bill shoot. Yeah, go ahead and send that rescission, which, of course, would be a request by Trump to begin doing cuts. There's the first one we know about, $9.2 billion, which defunds NPR, PBS, and it's got some of the USAID cuts in it. So all of that is great. It's fantastic. What basically is done is the little guy, the regular guy, the Twitter feed person, is the X feed, I should say, forced Republican leadership, at least Mike Johnson, to say, you know what? We'd love to see a bill. Yeah, no, totally send one, which is the opposite of what they were saying. So that's good news. Now, it appears there's a pocket rescission option in the impoundment bill, which is very exciting. What does it say? It actually says if Trump sends, and they're saying there's more than a dozen of these rescission bills that are behind the first one. If Trump sends them, because there's once it gets to Congress, they have 45 days to approve it. But if he sends it less than 45 days before the end of the fiscal year, then what that means is that it's kind of almost like a pocket judicial appointment, but it's a pocket rescission. In other words, they don't take it up, they don't do anything. Trump can make the cuts himself.
So get it done on a technicality.
Yes,
which is
get it
fine.
Done. I don't
mean,
care
as long
how
as
he does.
The rules, you know, whatever. I mean, and of course, there's going to be a lawsuit or some type of
They'll try to stop
interjection by Democrats on it anyway. So
here's how it would work. They'll sue him to stop this. But a pocket rescission is a standard rescission similar to the process that, you know, just referring to another article, that occurs when the president sends his rescission message to Congress with fewer than 45 days left in the fiscal year, which ends September 30th. Then opts to withhold or pause the obligations within the message. So in this instance, the fiscal year ends before the 45-day statutory period for the executive branch to withhold the obligations expires. Therefore, any budget authority for funds that expires at the end of the fiscal year within the, it's very boring, but Congress may take up the rescission message and vote to rescind the authority or even vote affirmatively to continue the obligations. Or if Trump does this in that window, he can go ahead and do it himself without a vote. So what they're saying is if this works, it's actually worth delaying the Doge cuts. They can get around Congress this way.
Well, you don't want to see sausage being made, and this is an example of that.
No, but people are really mad. They got behind Doge.
Oh,
they really like the idea.
And I get it.
They feel betrayed.
There's goals and standards and things that you want to accomplish, and then there's the reality of politics.
Yeah. And they're saying this could help prevent a liberal Republican from saving NPR, saving PBS, and then ultimately killing us on the other bills,
right,
too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is great. And so they could do it that way. So in other words, it makes sense to wait. Because at the rate we're going with the big, beautiful bill, these Republicans, they're trying to run the clock out so Trump can't do this. They're like, oh, no, don't send it to the end of the big, beautiful bill. Well, look what's happening in the Senate with the big, beautiful bill. Now we don't have the votes to pass it, right? So what does that mean? Well, that's going to drag it out. If their rule to him before, and that was Congress playing bully to Trump. Oh, you can't send it till after the bill. They run the clock out past the end of the fiscal year. This is a game, okay? Mm-hmm. The Republicans are really Democrats, and they're trying to screw Trump. So the big news is, since Elon Musk basically got the sympathy of X and beat the crap out of Mike Johnson, Mike Johnson's like, oh, yeah, no, come on, go ahead and send it now. You don't have to wait till the end of the big, beautiful bill. Good. So we notched a win this week.
So we have a populist president who's actually a conservative. We have Republicans who are really Democrats, and we have Democrats who are really communist Marxists.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's where we are.
No, that is an absolutely perfect description of where we are. So the first bill is the $9.2 billion, but again, there are many more behind that. Russ Vought Trump's budget director, has been doing podcast after podcast saying that. So what does this mean? We don't know the total number. If it was me, I would be afraid to cut more than like an eighth, maybe even a seventh of the deficit. Like I'm thinking 250 to 300 billion. Anything more than that, you could get a depression because you got to pull this money back slowly. But here's the tactical game here, okay? And I don't want to wonk out, but if you want to understand it, this is it, okay? We have really evil globalist forces that I think also control the Republican leadership who are trying to tank the stock market. They failed. But they're having a better time of it with the bond market. All the bond market needs to stop wobbling is some sign of life from the Republicans that, hey, okay, we're going to cut an eighth of the deficit every year. Just something. Where you feel like, okay, if I buy a 20-year bond at 5%, which is very attractive, you know what? The federal government's still going to be standing at the end of 20 years. And so if Trump can come forward with even a $250 billion cut and an assurance that, hey, we can do this every year, that's what they need something. We need something like that to keep the bond market from wobbling so that we can go forward, but not so much that we cut too much and we cause, a depression, basically.
What do you think?
To pull back slowly.
What do you think this morning's inflation numbers will do? Because as we reported here, inflation was reported at 2.1%, which is a tenth of a percent under what expectations were. So the anticipated inflation by tariff is not happening.
Well, I explained that. I've been telling folks tariffs don't cause inflation.
Right.
If you wanted to cause inflation with tariffs, you couldn't do it. It'd be impossible.
Right. Just pass the big, beautiful bill, and that's what will fuel inflation.
Yeah, that will fuel inflation. It absolutely will fuel inflation. And that's where Trump has no choice. He's going to have to come in and use those rescissions to just rip it back and take it back and cut that way, because Republicans are too damn dumb to get this through. Just dumb, evil, whatever you want to call it. I mean, our leadership is useless. So... number one, the only way you can cause inflation, it's very simple, is printing money. There is no other way to do it. Now, tariffs can, as you said, Lee, you were just asking me, tariffs can drive prices up. Yes, that is not inflation. That's prices going up. What is it? What is a tariff? Ultimately, it's a tax. What does a tax do? It can drive prices up. Doesn't always. Sometimes the producers eat it. Sometimes the sellers eat it. That's what they're doing right now. And by the way, do you realize Trump's tariffs will generate, if they stay in place for a year, $255 billion.
Yeah, that's...
That's it right there. That's your eighth of the deficit. That's what the bond market needs to see. Okay, but here's what's interesting. You just asked me about what were these inflation numbers look like today. Always scared to predict, but I know this. The producer price index number, which we got, a month ago now? Three weeks ago now? Which is just like, this is what manufacturers are paying right now for the stuff you're going to be buying in a few months. It was down by a whopping, staggering half a percentage point. That's huge. So that looks like American manufacturers, I don't think you're going to see any inflation there. So the only question then is internationally, if it's stuff coming in, do we see anything from that? That's like 11 to 14% of the economy. It's possible. I would think we're going to see another like you know, paused or low inflation number. That would be my guess. But
well, we did. We said it was 2.1. It was down 0.1% from the expectation. So it was down from 2.1.
Oh, we already have it. I thought it didn't come out until 9:30. I had that in the news here just a moment ago. No, I usually cut. I cut audio at the break.
No, I understand. I know you can't. I'm back there doing stuff. I thought you were saying that was what was predicted.
No, because normally it's out at 9:30. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, so what? I did a prediction. Got it right. Cool.
Consumer prices rose just 2.1% in April compared with the year earlier. That's down from 2.3% in March, and I believe that the experts were expecting 2.2% inflation, so it was below expectations. That's what the numbers were this morning.
Wow. Not surprised. The producer price index number would have, you know, tipped off. Yeah. That's what was coming. That's at least for American producers, which, by the way, are the majority. People still don't realize that. We make over 80% of our stuff here, believe it or not. Just the rest that's coming in. So, good. But, you know, that Congress is working hardly to reverse that, as you said, and get us some inflation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. It's Friday, so here's what we're going to do. Call-in portion of the show. Yes, we have one of those now. I've got another interview. I've got a sandwich in. We're going to do that quick, too, for the rest of the hour. And I'm going to also pack in content that you love. 800-905-0989. It's the text line, but it's also the call-in line. Anything from the week is back on the table. 800-905-0989. While producer Tim stacks and racks the phone calls, I want to play this for you. What Ron DeSantis did. You heard Trump earlier saying, no, me and Elon Musk have not broken up. And basically, Congress extorted me. The only way I'm getting my agenda through is to let them spend like drunken sailors. I'll have to cut it later. Ron DeSantis, understanding, and he's not wrong, governor of Florida. Look, if Trump gets sued, the judges stop him and he can't cut it later. The size of this big, beautiful bill is a disaster. And he's not wrong about this. He's the only one in, you know, I would say among Republican leaders in the country, the way to describe it, calling out the Republican leadership for how bad they are.
The bill I'm going to sign today is legislation that is going to allow Florida to recognize gold and silver as legal tender in our state. And we have the ability to do that under the federal constitution. There are only two states that have done it thus far. They're smaller states. We are the first large state to step up and to get this done. And this legislation will authorize money services business like check cashers or PayPal to transmit and accept payment in gold and silver. That means these precious metals can start functioning like real currency again, not just investment vehicles for the wealthy. And you notice what's happened in recent weeks and months. How has gold gone down or has gold gone up? Gold's gone up big time because investors are looking at this and they're hedging against, they see the bond yields have gone up. I think they moderate a little today, but when people start seeing that, gold is a place they're going to. So it's not just an investment. It'll be something that you're going to be able to use. And it's something that is very likely to hold its value, certainly compared to fiat currency. Now, we've seen the downgrade in the credit rating over multiple administrations. We've seen a lot of problems with the DC swamp. This is our ability to give you the financial freedom to be able to protect yourself against the declining value of the dollar.
And why is that necessary? Here's the bombshell part. And again, folks, you just, every Republican is terrified at this point to call out GOP leadership and to say what the truth is, but not DeSantis. He blistered them over what they did to Elon Musk.
It's a little frustrating. You know, Elon Musk went into this DOGE effort. He was getting lampooned. I mean, like, they're firebombing his Tesla dealerships. Media smearing him relentlessly. His businesses suffered all this stuff because he basically said, look, we can't keep doing this And we need to moderate and reduce the amount of money that the federal government is spending. And yet, we have a Republican Congress, and to this day, we're in the end of May, past Memorial Day, and not 1 cent in DOGE cuts have been implemented by the Congress.
I know, it's
outrageous. That's one of the reasons why we need a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Yep. He's right. And folks, right now, that takes an incredible amount of courage to call out GOP leadership. They are just stone cold. I mean, they're just out of control. And that's essentially what Trump said. If you kind of parse what he said when he was asked about Elon Musk, saying he was very disappointed in the big, beautiful bill, Trump's basically saying, well, you know, I got to get my agenda through. And this is what they want to spend in Congress. I got no other way. He's not wrong about that. It's just an is what it is kind of thing. Okay. Meanwhile, folks, in a statement that would only make sense to the liberal media, the president of South Africa, who likes to kill white people, or at least thinks it's okay, it's not that controversial, still spinning from Trump absolutely mocking him. And he should. He deserves to be mocked. When you have over 4,000 dead farmers, wives raped, most of them hacked to death with axes, which is the preferred method. And you want to pretend that's okay, that's all very normal? Not cool. Anyway, did you hear what he said this week? I didn't get to this earlier. It was fantastic. This is his defense of the chance from the number two political party in the country, they have a lot of seats in parliament, to kill white people, which we're told is all very normal. Nothing wrong with it. Look, just ignore the 4,000 dead bodies acknowledged by the New York Times. That's not a lot. I mean, shit, it's like since 1994. Shoot. It's only 4,000. I mean, it was kind of bloody, but, you know. Take a listen to this. From South African President Ramaphosa, still defending himself after Trump humiliated him.
It's not a matter where we need to be instructed by anyone. We a very proud sovereign country. You know, that slogan, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, is a liberation chant.
Liberation.
And slogan. And it's not meant to be a message that elicits or calls upon anyone to go and be killed. And that is what our court decided. So they will probably want to arrest people willy-nilly. We follow the dictates of our constitution, and we are a country where freedom of expression is the bedrock of our constitutional arrangements.
That is outrageous. Well, no. When we say kill white people, kill the Boer, which is what Boer is a word for the white farmer, which is what Trump played for him. He said, silly. You're just misunderstanding. We didn't mean like kill, like the 4,000 dead people who we killed and then took their land. No, not like that. Like we meant it like it's a liberation chant. And we can't have these murderers arrested willy-nilly when we physically take their land and brutalize them, butchering men, women, and children. We can't have that. And it's all very constitutional, you understand. Trump was just confused. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I jump on over to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. This is the call-in portion of the show for the week. So anything from the week that was is back on the table. 800-905-0989. It's going all the way back to Monday. Again, 800-905-0989. That is also the text line. So if you don't have time to call, you can always send me a text as well. Okay, let's jump on the text line. In the meantime, texter writes, Tara, Mike is a little Johnson, not a big Johnson. Another text writes, hey, Tara, wish I moved to Florida. Yeah, really cool that Florida this week became the second state where you can actually use your gold to purchase things, which you should be able to do anyway. Text writes, hey, Tara, Karl Marx was actually a total mooch. He lived off everybody around him. Sound familiar? Yes, it does. The text writes, Tara, does this mean that all of Elon's Doge team will leave now? Also, no, they're doubling down. In fact, they won a major court ruling this week, which I thought was one of the biggest stories this week. Finally allowing them to access all 1.5 billion Treasury payments the Democrats had sued to keep Doge, but also Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent from accessing them. Gotta wonder why. And we're about to find out, by the way, because 48 hours ago they got access. They are inside the machine, despite Democrat efforts. You know why? There's massive fraud there. There is. Do not be surprised if we don't ultimately find that $1 trillion Elon Musk said he thought was out there. Everybody's laughed at him and said, oh, you only found $175 billion. No, it's going to be a lot more than that. And look, folks, what's going on right now, Trump, if you've noticed, they've gotten very quiet about what Doge is doing. One of the things we heard about in the beginning that was very exciting and then never really heard about again was the $500 billion that was going out the door every year to pay for expired programs. Remember that? Programs no longer authorized by Congress. Some of them hadn't been authorized by Congress for decades. Some of them were from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. We're still paying out on them. Who are we paying? Remember when Elon Musk sent the emails out to try to figure out, like, do you have a manager? Or, yeah, 50% of those emails didn't come back. How much again? $500 billion a year. Unauthorized by Congress. Programs that have no oversight because they expired. But the payments still go. And then nothing came of that. Do you notice that? Nothing more was said. You know why? Because if Republicans in Congress figure out that $500 billion is out there, they'll spend it. That's why they've gone quiet. You've got, again, Scott Bessent saying, look, a third of the payments that we are allowed to look at by the courts, and they just won the ability to look at all of them. A third of the payments out of the Treasury are invalid. In other words, they're fraudulent. They're not legal. And he said it's a little more than a third. Folks, there is the Leviathan of fraud out there. It is massive. And that's why Trump's not worried about doing the cuts. I'm telling you, this is all going to come down. I'm going to look like a genius. And I hope I'm not overestimating it. I'm just going with what they're saying. So now Musk, who's been way too exposed on this, is leaving. But Doge is continuing on. They, again, just won a major victory. So text writes, Tara, Trump needs to get the CIA out of Ukraine. Yes, he does. In fact, folks, UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter this week just was going on every show that would have him explaining this. That, look, Trump's got some really bad information on Ukraine. He got caught flat-footed by a reporter and didn't seem to know about the drone storm from NATO and to me, this is incredible because I've been telling you about it for months. I mean, every time Putin starts to come to the table and it looks like, wow, Trump could win a Pulitzer for peace here, the mass bombing starts, the droning, the missiles, and it starts again. And they bomb the heck out of Russia. And look, I don't care if they kill each other. It's immaterial to me. But nobody told Trump. And here's the danger of it, okay, in response to that text and the text line. Here's Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, one of those who really does understand this conflict. And to understand it, you have to have followed it for 15 years, not just when Putin invaded. Here's the problem. Those drones striking Russia are ours. Trump told Pete Hegseth to resume sending them in the ammo, too. We are in mortal danger.
Democrat.
That if the Ukrainian drones actually targeted the Russian president, they did not do so in a vacuum. That there would have been assistance provided by the West, yep. Which means that the West is targeting the Russian president. Yep. And if you read the Russian nuclear doctrine, this is a trigger for Russian nuclear retaliation or preemptive strikes. Yep. So this is, you know, who's playing with fire here? Yeah. It's not Vladimir Putin that's playing with fire. It's Ukraine and the West that are playing with fire.
Yeah, that was a hit job. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, that drone, that alleged drone swarm on Putin's choppers is flying into Kursk. As you say, that could not have been carried out without the help of, for example, MI6 or the CIA. You've got to have some kind of international help to get that kind of thing coordinated.
And that's what I've been afraid of all week. That's the people coordinating that strike, that it's our government behind Trump's back. Folks, understand, had Putin died in that drone storm, around his helicopter, and they also did the largest, you know, drone bombing run in Russia, that triggers Russian nuclear doctrine. If Putin dies, and they've tried to kill him three times, by they, NATO and Ukraine, anything Ukraine does is just NATO. NATO has no ability to do anything. Putin dies, their nuclear doctrine, which is published, is they hit whoever did it. They're already threatening to hit Germany after this week. I mean, this is serious stuff. And once that happens, it's on. I mean, it is on. When it's so serious that Putin moves 50,000 troops to the border in retaliation, and Trump's like, what's he doing? It's just really random. I don't know what he's doing. You don't know about the drone strikes? And you know what's really scary about that? Please God, they weren't ours. And we know the drones were. But the coordinating, please God, they weren't ours. If they had killed him, oh my gosh. And Putin and Trump didn't even, listen to this. This is crazy. Trump didn't even know. He had no idea that Trump, and by the way, this idea, a lot of people in the West are saying, oh no, Putin wasn't, they're just making that up. Folks, they tried to assassinate him last month and we acknowledged it. They have been trying to kill him. Which, look, I don't care if he lives or dies, but the problem is the Russian nuclear doctrine is they respond with overwhelming force.
Can I follow up on that? A Russian commander reportedly said that Putin was almost caught in the middle of a drone attack from Ukraine. So do you have any...
I haven't heard that, but maybe that would be a reason. I don't know, but I have not heard that.
President Trump, Secretary...
You didn't hear that? It was all over X. Anyway, the good news is... that audio cut went all over X of him not knowing anything that's going on the ground in Ukraine, apparently. I don't know who his advisors are. And Lavrov came out and addressed it and said, okay, good. All right, cool. But we thought the president was conducting basically war on us. And now we know he just doesn't know what his country's doing. He needs new advisors, like ASAP. Either that or he needs to call up Mike Flynn and get caught up on what's going on. Because when he blasted Putin this week after Putin was nearly assassinated... and it was likely our drones that did it. Folks, this has been the scariest week I've seen in a long time. Trending on X, and it's not good. Trending on X, and it's not good. Dan Bongino's interview, where even Fox News hosts sound like they didn't believe him. And those guys will believe anything. Just about. Bret Baier's the worst. And he wasn't buying most of it. So unbelievable. Yeah, and folks, here's the thing to take away from this. If you listen to what Bongino said across both the Trump assassination, on which the Trump, you know, the Fox News host did not believe him, and the Epstein tape he says he's going to release, what he keeps saying is this: well, I can only tell you what's in the file. It's not in the file. Those things you've seen online, they're not in the file. What does that mean? He's saying, I can't get the information. Kash Patel can't either. He's saying, this is all I know. In other words, this is all we're able to get. Why is that the case? Because they don't have control over the agency. And I warn you, this would be very hard to do, to retain the control. Take a listen to Bongino talking about the Epstein situation.
Those two cases obviously are of significant public interest. I'm just telling you what we see in the file. I just want to be crystal clear on this. I am not asking anyone to believe me. I'm telling you what's there and what isn't.
Right.
There is nothing in the file at this point on the Epstein case.
See how he talks about it? He's protecting him. There's nothing in the file. In other words, he can't get it. Might be out there, probably is inside the FBI, but he can't get it. That's the problem. That's why he's talking so strangely about it. Here's the other one. I thought this was this clip is not being played by a lot of folks, but I thought this one was very, very telling. And he's describing because he can't come out and say we do not yet control the FBI. We have not managed to slay that beast. What he's saying is, well, you know, James Comey hid stuff and we've been able to find some of it.
Jim Comey, we're finding stuff even now. Wait till you read the stuff that's coming out.
Does he still have loyalists in the building? Because when I hear the FBI director saying, you guys are finding boxes that are hidden. Okay, how does that happen in the Bureau?
Well, we were there a couple of weeks. And luckily, there were a lot of people up there who grabbed us by the arm the minute we came in and said, thank you for being here. You know, we need to talk. There are people there who are really horrified at what happened. And there was a room, and we found stuff, a lot of stuff.
A hidden room.
I wouldn't call it hidden, but hidden from us, at least, and not mentioned to us. And then we found stuff in there, and a lot of it's from the Comey era, and we are working our damnedest right now to declassify. And just so you know, because I get the public, I totally understand people saying, well, do it now. The process is not all the information is ours to declassify. Some is other intelligence agencies. It's not, we literally can't do it. Once that gets done and that gets out there and you read some of the stuff we found that, by the way, was not processed through the normal procedure, digitizing it, putting in FBI records. Right. We found it in bags hiding under Jim Comey's FBI. Quickly, you're going
to
be stunned.
The shells on the beach. Can you not talk to social?
We found it inside the FBI. He has another announcement during this interview yesterday. Yes, we have a new lead this morning. He's talking about inside the FBI. That's what he has to do to get basic information inside the FBI. You know what he's describing? Two guys who were nice guys, Bongino and Patel, who have moved into the building. They have passes to the building. They have desks there in the building, but they're not running the place. And so far in Trump's term in office, this one and the last one, we never managed to take over the FBI, no matter who we sent in, and we did not manage to take over the DOJ. We still have it. Now, folks, I don't mean that as a knock. I predicted it. I said I didn't know if it was possible to do at all, period. But there's only one way to do it. And this is what surprises me. Maybe it just hasn't started yet. They're going to have to fire them. And I mean thousands of them. Start at the top, fire them all. Go all the way down to middle management. I know there'll be two, maybe three people who are good who will go out the door too. The rest are rotten apples. Folks, when Comey and Robert Mueller are the ones doing the hiring at the FBI for 20 years, there's nothing good in there. And by the way, that gets to this text somebody just sent me. Tara, Spartanburg sheriff drummed out of office, ? Who cares? He'll just walk like Will Lewis and the 12 other South Carolina sheriffs in the last 15 years. And what did he do? Well, we don't actually know. Narcotics distribution, embezzlement, aggravated battery, like some of the rest we'll never know. Folks, here's the problem. We've also had articles in the Washington Times about the FBI going after deeply conservative law enforcement. So did he actually do it? Yeah. Or is he being set up by the FBI? Who knows? That's why I haven't hit him too hard. I deeply resent the FBI coming after any other law enforcement for allegedly breaking the law. In fact, I want them out of here. I don't want to hear from them. I have no interest in their grand jury investigation. I don't care. Not interested. We'll handle it here. Sled will take care of it. We don't need your input. People at so corrupt, you're still hiding the law breaking to this day and the director can't get it. And you want us to listen to some blah, blah you have to say about Chuck Wright? Sorry. I'm just not interested. Now, if Sled wants to tell me about what Chuck Wright did, I'll be happy to listen and report that. But the FBI don't care. No interest. You're a bunch of criminals. You are. And every one of you needs to be fired, cleaned out, cleared out. Bye-bye. I'm tired of this mess. By the way, speaking of bye-bye, it is a Friday, so for the weekend, we're not going to be here, but you can always download the Battleground America podcast wherever you get your podcast, because today is Insane Things Day, the best podcast of the week. Mike Gallagher is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.